Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, certified coach, and energy master, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and wellness in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to help you shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Welcome, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Power Your Life, and I'm Joanne White, and today I have a wonderful guest who went through some incredible tragedy and adversity and really came out on the other side, and he is such a role model for all of us, many of us, and I don't know how old anyone is listening to the show, but many of us have challenges in our lives that something that is expected, even though we don't like it, we don't foresee some of that coming. Oftentimes, that's just the way it works. And how you deal with it, what you do with it, really, as Dr. Terry agrees, makes all the difference in the world. And Dr. Terry Gordon was able to turn that tragedy that he and his family endured and suffered into growth and enlightenment, and he encourages you to do that too. Dr. Terry A. Gordon completed his medical school training at what is now known as the Kansas City University of Medicine and Biosciences, a rotating internship at Doctors Hospital, internal medicine training in Akron General Medical Center, and then Dr. Terry completed his invasive cardiology fellowship at the Cleveland Clinic Foundation. As a physician who on a daily basis has dealt with life and death, Terry Gordon understands that life is precious and can change in an instant. He and his family experienced firsthand such a dramatic shift when his son Tyler was in an automobile accident, sustaining a severe spinal cord injury that left him paralyzed. Leading his family through the experience, Dr. Terry Gordon's journey has resulted in a spiritual awakening to a clear understanding of life and the truths that it has to offer. He's learned that when adversity comes our way, how we respond to that difficulty determines who we become. Rather than lamenting the so-called adversities, we can choose to be grateful for them, embrace them, and accept them, as Dr. Terry Gordon did, as gifts from the divine. Welcome, Dr. Terry Gordon. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joanne. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's dive into this because this is a great book, No Storm Lasts Forever, Transforming Suffering into Insight. And I gave away a little bit of the story behind the book, but I want, in your own words, a little bit what happened to Tyler and what happened to you and your family during that time. And then we'll get more into the book and how it's transformed everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. It was June 29th of the year 2009, just 6 years ago, and I was up in my office at home doing a little work when my daughter, Maddie Rose, had just come in from Chicago. She was teaching school there. And, you know, it's a parent's sixth sense when you can kind of tell something's not quite right with one of your children. And Maddie had this sadness dripping from her. And I said, "What's up, sweetie?" And she came around my desk and plopped herself down by my feet and put her arms up on my knees. And she said, "You know, Dad, I always thought that the older I got, the more control I assumed over my life, the easier life would become." And then with this deep sigh and a single tear trickling down her cheek, she said, "You know, it's just not working out that way." And I pulled her up into my arms and rocked her as I had for some 27 years. And I thought for a very long time because I knew what I was about to share with her would be very important. And I said to her, "You know, darling, I think that's the way it's supposed to be, that if we are to grow, if we are to mature, if we are to become more enlightened in this lifetime, we must face greater and greater obstacles, because it's only by overcoming these obstacles that we gain that higher awareness. And I shared with her that everything's in perfect order and that we should actually be grateful for the crap that comes our way. And I shared with her from the Kabbalah, which is the ancient mystical text of Judaism. And in it, it says, it's the falls of our life that provide us the energy to propel us onto the higher path. It's the falls of our life. And I kissed her on the forehead and reminded her again that we should be grateful for the stuff, bad stuff that comes our way. The next morning, around 6:40, I received one of the worst phone calls a parent could get. The grave voice on the other end of the line shared with me that our son Tyler, who was had just finished his second year of college at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, that Tyler had been involved in a single car accident, that he had flipped his car head over heel, and that he had shattered his neck. And then came the dreaded words, "Your son is quadriplegic." You probably can't imagine the impact of those words. I couldn't before that moment. Now, you know, as parents, we fret when our kids come home in a condition we're not particularly proud of, or when they come home late, and we worry about those phone calls. But you can't imagine the impact when you hear those words. I had about 20 seconds of denial, and then the doctor in me kicked. I knew where we were going, where we were headed with this. They were, in fact, getting ready to life flight Tyler from Durango, Colorado, to Denver, Colorado, where he would undergo emergency surgery to try to stabilize his neck. And within an hour, I'd hastily packed a bag and bolted from the house, and I was speeding up to the Cleveland airport and trying to get on an overbooked flight that would get me to Denver in time to see Tyler before he went into surgery. And it was on that trip up to the airport that it hit me that I had left my wife wailing.
Oh.
Now, Angela, you know, she is the strongest person in the world. I don't think I've ever seen her cry before. Me, on the other hand, I'd cry at the drop of a hat, but she was wailing as I left, and I didn't even acknowledge that. I was so focused on getting in the car, speeding up to the airport, and getting on that plane. And I knew she knew what I was needing to do. And so I got up to the airport, and there were 8 people ahead of me on this overbooked flight on a wait list. And I don't know how I got on that plane, but somehow I got a seat. And they had me next to a window. And I'm now like a caged cat. I'm incommunicado. I don't know if Tyler is alive, dead, brain damaged, bleeding out from internal organ injury. It was the worst 3 hours of my life, Joanne. The chaotic thoughts were banging around inside my head so loudly it was deafening and so painful. And I felt like I was in this tornado. And it was loud, and it was whooshing, and it was noisy, and it was dank, and it was dark. And I looked down the funnel, and it was pure blackness. It was so frightening. And I remember saying to myself over and over again, I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. And gradually, that loud whooshing sound began to abate as I became enveloped in this cocoon of white noise. And it became this place of unfathomable peace. But I still was saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't. And I won't tell you that I heard the voice of God, but I heard the words when God said, yes, you can. And I said, but I don't know how to do this. I've never done this before. How do I do this? And God said, he reminded me, Terry, just last night, you shared your truth with your daughter, Maddie Rose.
Hey.
You can talk the talk, but now you're going to have to live it. And I pleaded again, you know, for help. Help me to help my son, and help me to help my family and my wife and my kids. And God, help me, because I don't know how to do this. And God reminded me that everything is in perfect order. Just as I had told my daughter, everything is in perfect order. Even this injury for your son is in perfect order.
You know, Dr. Terry, when things like that happen, like you're in this tornado, this tunnel, and asking for help, it's amazing how often that help comes, like it did in that voice, the voice of God, or the voice of you know, that's there to help you, that's there to move you forward, that's there to give you the ease and the understanding. And it was so interesting that you had just spoken to your daughter the night before, and you had to really live this out. So it's incredible.
Everything is purposeful. Right. Let me just share one last thought with you on that plane, because this was the most profound thing that I have ever heard in my life. When I asked once again for God to help me, he gave me this advice when he said, treat this as if it was something you had chosen. Mm. Now, I had never looked at life that way. I had never contemplated that we actually choose what it is we are to experience. And, you know, my question was, why would I choose that? Maybe I would choose an injury for me, but why would I choose for my son to be injured in such a profound way? What lessons could be hidden in such turmoil? And again, you know, there are many religions that believe that we actually choose what it is we are to experience in a particular lifetime, and that choice is based on what our spiritual development requires in order to continue on its progressive course. So as I began navigating the storm, and it didn't happen right away, but pretty soon after that message, as I began navigating the storm in our lives, the challenge for me, quite frankly, became adjusting my perception of these events enough to recognize the presence of the divine within the experience.
You know,
in order to do that, go ahead.
No, go finish what you're going to say. Then
I was just going to say, in order to do that, I had to take my mind way, way, way beyond what I had previously judged as good or bad.
Right. There probably isn't good or bad when it comes to something like that, when it comes to lessons. And also, you have to wonder what Tyler chose, too, right? Because on some level, that lesson just wasn't for you. And what Angela chose. And there's another experience in the book that I want to share a little bit. And that was something that Angela was alone with Tyler in the hospital room. And again, there's this presence of the divine, a blue light that was there. And so your whole family seems to have been encased in that divine protection, that divine light, which is really incredible. And it's actually helped you help other people and shift, because it had to shift you, so that by doing so, you have moved forward to really help other people. When people,
well, you know, it's interesting, because Angela has often said that Tyler chose to have this accident so the book No Storm Lasts Forever could be written and shared. Which is a pretty heavy thought to think about, you know.
Right. Now, just as an aside, where is Tyler now in his growth, in his life, and because
let's move fast
forward a little bit, right?
Well, you can imagine, you know, here was a kid who, he was ripped. This guy had muscles in places I had forgotten muscles existed. He was a rock climber. He was a phenomenal guitarist, lead guitarist, and rock climber, and, you know, just very active physically. And in a nanosecond, everything changed. And everything that defined who he was gone in an instant. And I'm sure you're familiar with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and the five stages that people go through when dying. And that also applies to the death of part of your body, not just the death of the whole body. And so, you know, the beginning, you know, he was very, very angry for several years, 3 to 4 years, actually. Very angry. And, you know, I'll tell you this, Joanne, my prayer for Tyler from the get-go wasn't that he would walk again. He ended up quadriplegic, so he's got some use of his arms, no use of his legs. And my prayer wasn't that he would walk again. I didn't have the audacity to tell God what I thought he should do about Tyler. But my prayer for Tyler was that he would heal. And that has occurred. Over the course of the past year and a half or so, Tyler has, I mean, he's grown immensely. Physically, he's not doing that great, but he has grown immensely spiritually. And I'll share with you something that happened probably 6-8 weeks ago. He has these involuntary spasms. He can't purposefully move his legs. Excuse me. But he has these involuntary spasms that actually jerk him into a fetal position. And he's actually jerked himself out of bed, which is very frightening because it's difficult for him to break his fall. And right. One night, this has been a couple months ago, I heard him yell out, and I went running into his room, and he's holding on for dear life to the bed rails. And got him back into bed and, you know, situated. And 3:30 in the morning, we're both wide awake, so we started talking. And he asked me this question, and it was so poignant in the way he crafted the question. He asked, you know, Dad, if you could be anybody else in the world, if you could choose to be anybody else in the world, and you could choose to move anywhere else you wanted to, and nobody knew you made that choice, who would you want to be and where would you want to go? And I shared with him that, you know, a couple months before that I'd actually had that thought. I felt like Davy Crockett at the Alamo. You know, I turned around and there was nobody there, you know, getting my back. And I really thought, gosh, I just wish I could run away from home. And then I started thinking, well, you know, if I wanted to run away from home, who would I want to meet me there and where would I want to go? And after a very short time, I realized that I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I wouldn't want to be anybody else, that I'm right where I'm supposed to be, going through exactly what I'm supposed to be going through. And he said, Dad, I have to share with you. I'm glad you said that because I feel the same way.
Wow.
Which is huge. That tells me he's gotten to that place of acceptance.
Right, because there was that anger and that feeling of loss. And to get to a place of acceptance, you really have to embrace your circumstances and be okay with it and feel good about it and let go of all the stuff around anger and loss that many of us have. Now, oftentimes, Terry, when people go through these kinds of experiences and they don't always have the voice of God within their head, they don't always see as Angela did, a light and feel encompassed by the divine, what do they need to do to be able to still make that shift?
Well, you know, everyone is different. Everyone starts from a different place. Even the six people in our immediate family, you know, we've come from a place of different levels of awareness, enlightenment, acceptance, if you will. So we all have not gone through the same experience. You know, Angela, my wife, probably one of the most spiritual people I know, she's the one that actually coaxed me gently onto a path. But I also feel like that I have been prepared. People have crossed my path not so fortuitously to direct me, to prepare me for what has happened. And I'm not going to tell you that our circumstance has been just hunky-dory the whole time. It hasn't been. And there are times where it continues not to be. But it's you know, you have a choice when you're experiencing something like this. You can either become the victim and lick your own wounds and suffer, or you can make a choice. And that choice is to accept the gift that has been given to you. And whenever I say that the Tyler's accident was a gift, people always raise eyebrows. Like, what are you talking about? How could you possibly consider a young man who is quadriplegic as a gift? And my response to them is that, you know, it's our choice. You know, what we do with it is what is important. And when you consider this a gift, and you learn, if you learn from any experience, if you learn anything from any experience, it's not a negative experience. So in truth, there are really no negative experiences. There are levels, I guess, if you will, But I have been able to embrace what has happened to Tyler and his family as a gift. And
you know,
I'm trying to learn every single thing I can from it.
Oftentimes, because you're not alone in that experience, Terry, when people have gone through other tragedies, and you know, I know some of them, and I've experienced some myself in the past, that had to you have to be able to, like you said, get to a place of acceptance, and that choice is very paramount. And oftentimes, when people go through these tragedies and make that choice, something wonderful happens. And what you were able to do was turn it around to really help other people. And you've done so with this book, No Storm Lasts Forever. You have techniques that you've utilized. One of them is journaling that really helped you to keep a positive outlook, to shift, to change. Can you offer our listeners a few of those techniques and what they did for you and what they could do for others?
Well, first of all, this book I blame on Wayne Dyer. Wayne and I became very good friends. I happened to bump into him on the beach of Maui after having tried to get in touch with him for a couple of years. And we were actually slated to go on a Hay House cruise with Wayne's family 2 weeks after Tyler's accident. And God love him, Wayne called every day after Tyler's injury, and one of the things that he suggested to me is that I journal. Now, I'd never done anything like that before. I had never kept a diary. I really had never written before. But Wayne suggested that I write down my thoughts and my experiences and who knows what would happen to it. And I started kind of journaling just to myself, and I shared it with a few friends of mine, and a couple of them said, you know, Terry, this is something you've got to share with others, because there's so many pearls in this. And so the journaling actually became the vehicle of my delivery from this abyss, you know. I found it extremely difficult to talk about what was going on. In fact, for weeks I couldn't talk to even my family. I just had to let this settle into my soul, into the deepest recesses of my being. And in that silent space that I found is where I began my search for meaning. And journaling allowed me to distill my ideas down to the most elemental levels and then to be able to expand on them. And what I would do is I would journal, I would write down a thought, and then I would leave it alone, and I'd come back and revisit it when my mind was in a different mindset, and would find that I'd be able to add to it and expand to it, and it became therapeutic for me, actually. And you know, I've read No Storm Lasts Forever 40 times since it's been published, and even though I wrote it, the words, you know, didn't really come from me, they came through me. I learned something new from it every time I read it. So
I think that's true often of writers, because I'm also a writer, and I feel that the writing is coming through me, and therefore sometimes I'll look at it and I'll say, where did that come from? How did that get there? Your book has so many experiences and stories about, there's something about the Buddhist monks and just stories that not only about what you went through, but that also enrich us in other ways on your journey and on the journey of your family. So I want to delve a little bit more into this book, because I think that, I know that you and I talked earlier, there's an upcoming book too, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but this book I think is so transformative, Terry, in just what it helps the reader do in terms of going through, that we go through your journey, but it's also the reader's journey, and we learn patience, and we learn how to embrace change and adversity and really get to that shift. So I want to thank you for that, because I think that there's something very, very special this book has a healing quality. I'm not sure that you were aware of it when you wrote it, because some of it was your own way of healing, but for the reader, not just for yourself, for the reader, it has this healing quality that but you get to the end of it, it's truly uplifting.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So what do people need to do to spiritually awaken? And you had this challenge. Many people have these challenges. What do you recommend?
First thing is don't put it off, and that's kind of what happened to me. I had always felt kind of this spiritual seed inside of me, but I was too busy. I was too busy to give myself the opportunity to think. And for me, it happened in my retirement. I had actually fallen off of a ladder and hurt my neck, and had to retire. And when I first retired, my wife Angela, who God love her, has been ill for a decade or so herself. She would be up all night and sleep during the day, and I'd be up during the day and sleep during the night. And we were kind of like ships passing in the night. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, this is not what I thought retirement was going to be like. And then it hit me, Joanne, that I was being given exactly what I needed, and that was quiet, contemplative time. And once I realized that and began to appreciate it and utilize it, is when my spiritual enlightenment began to unfold at warp speed. So the first suggestion I would have to people is don't put it off. This is the most important thing we are here to do. It's not to be a cardiologist or a radio show host or a lawyer. Our most important purpose for being here is our own individual spiritual development. And what most of us do is we busy our lives with stuff. We are constantly seeking for more of whatever it is we're looking for. And before you know it, something of great magnitude happens, life-altering happens, and then you've got just a finite short period of time to be able to put this all together. So my advice is be aware of your spiritual and your spiritual needs. So that would be the first thing I'd say.
And I think that's really important, because I think that you're so right on. People get so busy and they define themselves in so many other ways. And the spiritual aspect, I know for me that most of what I've been doing and what I'm doing has been guided. So one day it was like, what? You want me to be a radio host? What? You want? And those kinds of things to me are very much driven by divinity and by connection. So I think that's really important. And I think it's, like you said, it's essential. You have done so much. Aside from being an author, you have done so much in terms of health advocacy and something especially in Ohio, you did something to help get AEDs, which are automated external defibrillators. And also you were honored by the National Physician, I don't know what year this was, but the National Physician of the Year by the American Heart Association. You want to tell us a little bit about that? Because you're even though you were retired, your journey is never ending, even in terms of helping people on many, many planes, many ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I wanted to be a cardiologist since I was 7 years old. And everything I did was directed at becoming the best cardiologist I could be. And I always thought that was my dharma. It turned out that was just preparatory, that the first 50 years of my life was just preparatory. And what happened, there was a youngster here in Akron. His name was Josh Miller. And one Friday night football game, he ran off of the football field and collapsed. And in front of his teammates, in front of his friends, and sadly in front of his parents, Josh Miller died. Mm-hmm. He died of a cardiac arrest. Now, kids are not supposed to have cardiac arrests. And in fact, I saw the video of his death, and it was the most sickening thing I've ever seen in my life. In that normally boisterous stadium, you could hear a pin drop, except for the wail of his mother. And they were trying to treat a neck injury. They thought he had hurt his neck. So they didn't even think it was heart until about 8 minutes later, which, of course, was too late. So I was bound and determined at that point that this was never going to happen again in our community. And had they had an AED, an automated external defibrillator, and those are the units that, you know, shock the heart back into a regular rhythm, had they had one, he likely would have survived. So we set out on a mission, and we raised $200,000 and purchased AEDs for every junior high school and high school in our community. And we became the first county of its size in the nation to do so. We trained 12 individuals in CPR and uses of AEDs. And that's when, and it must have been a slow year for the American Heart Association, that's when they named me their national physician of the year. And funny story, when the guy called me, I thought it was a joke because I don't consider myself that type of person. But in any event, you know, then I started thinking, well, wait a minute. What about Cleveland, Ohio, or Cincinnati, Ohio, or Dayton, Ohio? They don't have these. So I came up with this idea, and it actually happened during a meditation. I was in D.C. trying to lobby. I had never done that before. So I'm in D.C. with another a father who had lost his son to cardiac arrest, and we're trying to figure out a way to get this done on a national level, and it became very clear that it wasn't going to happen that way. And it was on the way back home that I was in this meditative state, and I was just sharing, you know, I've got all this energy, but I don't know how to use it. Show me the way. And in my meditative state, this man who lived in our hometown came into vision. Now, I didn't know him. I didn't know what political party he was a member of. I didn't even know who was politically in charge of the state of Ohio at that time. Okay? That's how naive I was. But I was told to go see this man. So I called the guy. He asked me to come over the next morning. I started showing him pictures of kids. And he gently closed the book on my hand and said, you know, Terry, you don't need to convince me of this. Cut to the chase. What do you need?
Wow.
And I took a deep breath and I said, I need $5 million, and that'll put an AED in every school in the state of Ohio, K through 12, public, private, parochial, charter. And it unfolded exactly as I had seen it in my vision, in my meditation.
Not only that. Not only that, it's unfolded into the Josh Miller Heart Act on a national level for national legislation. Bravo. Thank you for that, because the fact that it's saving so many lives is amazing. We have, you and I can talk forever about everything that's going on with you and your book, but let's talk a little bit about what's upcoming. Because there's a new book on the horizon, and I'm telling people, not only get No Storm Lasts Forever, but we're going to keep a close watch on Dr. Terry Gordon, because this new book that is just as amazing. Tell us a little bit about that, and also about an upcoming film.
Yes. Well, the book, the title of the book is My Heart Will Go On and On. And you know, Joanne, variety is the spice of life, right? This novel, My Heart Will Go On and On, is nothing like No Storm Lasts Forever, but it's a very spiritual novel. But it is a novel. And it really, again, this was Wayne's fault. I was out there, I spoke at one of his events, and after I was done, he said, you know, Terry, you really have a way of crafting a story. I think he was referring to the BS that I could do, I don't know. But he just, you know, said, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I've always been enamored and had an interest in death, not from a Kevorkian sense, but from a spiritual sense. Yeah. And so I started doing some research on writing a book from the perspective of a cardiologist, and somehow it morphed into a novel, to where the first half of each chapter was a novel, the second half of each chapter was the prescriptive element of what I was trying to explain in the novel. And people either really liked it or didn't, so I decided to bifurcate them. But I kept being drawn back to this novel. And so I've finished the novel. It's being pushed out there now for a publisher. And it really is a very good novel. And I say that not because I wrote it. It's just, it's the message of this novel is something, especially in today's world, that we need so, so very much. So it should come out. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, when will it be released?
Well, I don't know that yet. I've got a book agent, the Jeff Herman Agency, and they are right now presenting it to different publishers. This has just happened recently.
Gotcha.
So I am anticipating, hopefully by the end of the year, I don't know, but it's a very special novel, and that segues into my third book, which I am about a third of the way through. It's called No Beginning, No End, and it is a book about how there's really no such thing as death. I had a marvelous experience close to the end of my career. I had this this lady, her name was Audrey, and she had a very sick heart, and I implanted one of the original implantable defibrillators in her. It's a device like a pacemaker, but that shocks the heart, and she outlived her disease by 8 years. I never thought she would live this long, and one morning she came into the hospital, and this device was just banging away at her. It shocked her about 80 times that day. Unfortunately, she was awake each time. And close to the end of the day, despite my efforts, I couldn't get her sick heart to calm down. She called me into her room, and she said, "You know, Terry, I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going, but I don't want to live like this. Will you please turn this device off?" And I said, "I will, Audrey, but you realize that the very next time that you have this heart rhythm disturbance, you're going to cross over." And she said, "I understand that." So I turned the device off, and I got ready to leave her room. And she called me back, and she said, "You know, Terry, I just have one more request. Will you hold my hand?"
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been around, I've been around thousands of people as they die. Usually, I'm the one frantically trying to keep them from doing so. But I've never once had one of them ask me to hold their hand at that moment they transition. So I said, "Of course I will, Audrey." So I invited the nurse out of the room. I sat on her bed, and I held her hand. And we're talking about the South. She was from South Carolina, and I'm from Kentucky, and so we always had that bond. And I'm squeezing her hand, and her hand is responsive to mine, when I saw on the monitor that she went into cardiac arrest, and her eyes very peacefully rolled into the back of her head, and she crossed over. And as she did so, she lost her bladder control. So I'm now seated in a pool of her urine, holding her hand, but I couldn't move because it was such a special moment. And I'm looking at this hand, Joanne, and it's the same hand I'd just been holding. It had the same blood cells, the same electrolytes, same bony structure. Everything in the hand was the same, except for one thing. The spirit had left the vessel. And in that instant, I could feel her energy swirling around me, and then it was gone. And I look back at the hand.
I have to tell you, really, because we're almost out of time, my friend, my dear friend, had that same experience, not that same, but an experience with her mother when her mother was dying. She actually, when her mother passed over, she actually saw the spirit. She actually described it as a light leaving the body. I don't know if that was your same experience, but it's amazing.
Mine was evanescent. And then, you know, when I looked back at her hand, the weirdest thought crossed my mind. You remember the movie E.T.?
Yeah.
When E.T.'s bony finger leaned over and touched the flower and ding, the flower withered.
Mm-hmm.
And then he touched it again and ding, it came back to life. It hit me that God had just dinged Audrey.
Right.
And the one thing we know is that energy doesn't die. It continues forever. Much like I believe that energy existed before we got dinged into this body.
Right.
So the long-winded story is, there's no such thing as death. It's a transformation. It's a transition to a different form of energy.
And, you know, it would be so important for people to get that, because I've seen people suffer and through fear of this is the end, and put their family through such trauma because they were uneasy about that next stage, and so I think that's so important. Tell people how they can reach you. We're running out of time, and also tell people the name of this new movie that may be ready, I think, within
October, November. It's called The Secrets of the Keys, and it's due out in October. Don Miguel Ruiz, Michael Beckwith, Danyon and Catherine Brinkley are in it. Gloria Loring is in it, and me. And it's a beautiful movie. It's a funny self-help movie. If you would like to get in touch with me, my website is www.drterrygordon.com. Doctor is just D-R, no period behind it. And then Terry is T-E-R-R-Y, Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N. And, of course, I'm on Twitter and Facebook, Google+. And if you'd like, I put out daily affirmations. So if you go to the website, you can click on and automatically receive daily inspirations.
And you also have a newsletter for people, too.
I'm sorry?
I said, and you also have a newsletter for people, too, on your website.
So
they can subscribe. Dr. Terry, you are a blessing. Thank you so much for all that you do and for all of the upcoming healing aspects, that books, movies that we are going to be honored to see, hear, read, whatever. And thank you so much for this book. And I'm going to keep in touch with you, because when that new book comes out, we'll have you on again.
I would love to. I would love to.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Terry.
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste. Next week, we are going to be blessed by someone else, and her name is Carly Alyssa Thorne, July 8th, noon Eastern, 9 o'clock Pacific, and she is going to talk about the multidimensional self. We are all multidimensional. And when we hear what Dr. Terry Gordon had to say today, it's wonderful to know that you can heal from adversity, that you need to be able to shift and to be able to grow who you are from a spiritual aspect, spiritual perspective, because that's really where we belong. And we're looking forward to that book about dying, because as Terry said, I totally believe that as well. It's just another part of our journey. And I do a lot with energy work, so everything is about energy. And as Dr. Terry said so aptly, energy doesn't die. It just continues. It just may be in another state or form, but it just moves forward. Thanks for being here today. You can always find out more about me and the TV show, Power Your Life, and the radio show, go to docwhite.org. And know that you have the ability, and as you heard from Dr. Terry's incredible story, you have the ability and the wherewithal to change your life, to empower yourself, to shift where you are, to transform, to move forward, and to just do so by tapping into you yourself, and also by tapping into the divine. Thanks so much for sharing your day with us, and have a blessed day. Namaste.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with host and author Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the upbeat show to enrich you and grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again and visit docwhite.org for more information and find out how Dr. Joanne can benefit you. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.